The reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us.
From John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11, the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've drawn us together so that we can hear your word and so that we can worship you, so that we can enjoy your presence as you manifest yourself among your people. And we pray now, Lord, for hearts and minds, senses that are able to perceive that you are present, hearts and minds that are willing to hear your word for us. We welcome you now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to come and take this word and apply it to our lives, that by your word and by your Spirit we would be utterly transformed until we become all that you created and redeemed us to be. So, Lord, may the words that I speak be according to your truth. And the thoughts that each of us think now be available to you for your work of bringing us from slavery into freedom, from death into life, from immaturity into the full stature of Jesus. In Jesus we pray. Last week, we heard Jesus' words to Peter. Do you love me? Peter says, yes, of course. I love you, and you know that I love you. And Jesus' response is, feed my sheep. Three times he asks him about his love, and three times he tells him, if you love me, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Do you get that? If we love God, he wants us to live out that love for him by caring for his people. In fact, Jesus is asking Peter to be a shepherd over his sheep. Let's just talk a little bit about what a shepherd does. Guides, protects, feeds, keeps them together. If they're injured, well, either takes care of it or calls a vet. It's very practical, it's very tangible, it's very involved. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So let's just look a little bit about what Jesus' life looked like as he was walking the earth before his crucifixion. What did he do? He healed. Depending on how you count verses in the New Testament, anywhere from one-third, well, it could be down to one-fifth of the Gospels, are stories of Jesus healing. This wasn't periphery, this is central to the ministry of Jesus. What else does Jesus do? He loves. Who does he love? Everyone. But let's get a little bit more specific. Who does Jesus love? Sinners. Broken people whose brokenness is evident to the world. Outcasts. The despised. The lonely. The unpleasant. What else does Jesus do in his ministry? He what? He trains. Yeah. He's continually taking the word, in his case, the Old Testament, and applying it for life for people. Helping them to see that it's not just ancient words on a page, but living words from God that bring life. That challenge life as we are accustomed to having it. Want to remember a few of those examples? Remember what he has to say about hate? Whoever hates his brother is actually guilty of murder. Want to remember what he says about lust? You know, Jesus is just continually showing people. He loves them and wants more for them than this low standard of life that's just about existing and making it through and comparing ourselves to one another. What else does Jesus do? He spends time in prayer. It says he often withdrew to pray. Do you know why? What? An example for us. Yeah. To receive from the Father. He says, I can do nothing of my own. You gotta get that. Everything Jesus did in his earthly life, he did as a human being, fully submitted to the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because Scripture tells us that he is fully God, but he laid down his rights and privileges as God to take on the fullness of the human condition. Jesus spends time with the Father because he needs to spend time with the Father for life. And also because spending time with the Father is delight. It is delight. What What else does Jesus do? He feeds them. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Another time, 4,000. What else does he do? What's that? He guides. Wisdom for life. What else does he do? He defeated the devil. Scripture tells us for this reason he came, to destroy the works of the devil. Anybody remember the time that Peter's asked if they pay, if his master, Jesus, pays the temple tax? And Peter goes to him and says, do we do this? Jesus says, of course. Go catch a fish. And he does, and there's a gold coin in there enough to pay both Peter's and Jesus. Jesus is really cool. But do you know that his ministry is so practical and it's so earthy? And he washes disciples' feet. And he loves those who will betray him. He's the good shepherd. And he is to be our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Martin Luther said, the big issue of faith is that the pronouns become personal. He's not just the shepherd, he is my shepherd. But here's what I want you to get. Jesus loves you. He goes and finds you and he gathers you back in and he heals your wounds and he takes care of your needs and he provides for you. And then you know what he does? Leads you right out of that sheepfold back into the world. Why? He leads us out to serve. That we are to be shepherds under his shepherding, caring for his sheep. If we love him, then we are to love his sheep. And love is a verb. It is caring, put into action. It's not just warm, fuzzy feelings. In fact, love is sacrifice. If there's no sacrifice, it ain't love. I'm thinking many of you have been married. If you want to just remember back to those early thoughts of how you thought it was going to be. Happily ever after, your loved one meeting all your needs and making life cushy for you. Right? Wasn't that exactly how it turned out to be? Yeah, and then the next day there's still dirty dishes in the sink. Love isn't about getting our needs met. It's about being dedicated to meet the needs of those we are called to love. Love sacrifices. If we commit to truly loving, there's a part of us that dies. It's a part of us that needs to die. And in dying to self, we discover what it is to really live and to really love. And that's what we're invited into. And let me tell you this too. Jesus leads us out of the sheepfold back out into the world so that we can be with him. Because he is all about reaching the sheep that are lost, that are broken, that are wounded, that are in danger. And you know what? If we want to spend time with Jesus, our beloved, it requires us to get invested in lives beyond ourselves, beyond our comfort. Because, yes, he's here. But he's here right now rounding us up to lead us back out into the world, to reach those who don't yet know his love, to help those who don't know how to receive his provision. And as we get led out into the world, we're led through some dark valleys. And we're led through some dangerous places. Yeah, we get opportunities to rest in green meadows. A few weeks ago, well, maybe it was longer ago, those of you in the dream class would maybe remember, I had a dream where I'm walking through what I know to be green pasture. Those words are there. And I'm just looking for that place to lay down. And as I start to lay down, I hear snakes in the grass. You know what? He provides abundantly for us. He provides faithfully for us. But a huge part of what he is about is us so trusting him that we're willing to follow him out into the places that we wouldn't choose to go and love those we wouldn't necessarily choose to love and rescue and help and heal and deliver, not because we can, but because he can through us. Because the primary way God gets things done in this world is through his people. He is genuinely alive, and he is genuinely alive in you. And he wants you distributed through the world, trusting him and letting him work through you. And that means getting beyond yourself, getting beyond the idea that life is about your comfort and resources for you. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's sacrifice. That's not life how you want it. That's life how others need it, from you and through you. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love not only with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Really easy to sit in the morning, loving God with his word, with a song in your heart and a cup of coffee in your hand. How easy is it to continue that love when you leave home and you're brought into contact with someone who's just a little irritating, with someone who's in need of something, whether that's a kind word or some practical help or some financial need? Somebody who makes demands on your time? Here's a reality. There are overwhelming needs in the world. And God wants to meet them. And God wants to meet them through his people. And most of us say, but I can't meet all of those needs. There's a limit to what I can do. Yes? Absolutely. We have physical limitations. We have material limitations. But God doesn't. And that's why we need to be the sheep who listen to the shepherd's voice and are willing to follow the shepherd and respond as the shepherd directs us. But sometimes that direction, it's going to challenge your plans. Oh, sorry, I already had some things planned for Thursday night this week. I don't think I'm going to be able to go visit that person who annoys me but really needs some attention right now. Oh, will I listen to the shepherd? Or will I have life my own way? Ooh, I've got a daughter's wedding coming up and I'd really like to help her financially with it. I've got plans for this money, even though brothers and sisters in Nepal are in desperate life circumstances. Will I listen to the shepherd? Or do I have my own plans set? I don't know where you're at. This makes me struggle. This makes me see that I'm offered life that isn't really life the way I'd necessarily want to have it. And I'm being told by the Good Shepherd that what he offers is abundant life. And that abundant life will mean dying to myself and loving as he loves. Love is action. Love is sacrifice. Love is life. Don't settle for less. Amen.